Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
We're going to get rocking this morning. We are in our series called Home Wreckers. This is our fourth installment of this series. We've talked a lot about the things that wreck our relationships in the home, and we're going to continue that conversation today. We've talked about pride as the root of what our issues can be most all the time. I know that wherever I go, there I am. And wherever I am, there's pride sneaking around in that circumstance. So we started off with that as kind of the foundation. We followed it up with poor communication and expectations, always a fantastic destroyer of relationship. And then we talked about the wrong goals and priorities, having the wrong goals and priorities. We're going to extend the conversation this morning, and we're going to talk about lack of trust. What lack of trust does in a relationship, what it does in the confines and the spheres of our home, is wreck. And so we're going to have that conversation this morning. When I think of lack of trust, as soon as I say that, what comes to mind for me is all the times when I have not been trusted and all the times that I have broken trust. It's like that fast. You say lack of trust, it's an immediate negative connotation for me. Anybody else? Okay. I know that just part of the English language, a majority of the words and phrases that we have are in the negative connotation. That's true. This plays out. Trust, ugh. And so here's what we're going to do this morning. Who would like to be trusted? I'd like to be trusted. Do you know what the easiest thing to do in the home sphere in order to be trusted is? It's to be trustworthy first. Be trustworthy first. And so the conversation for today is going to be focused on what does it look like for you, for me as an individual, to be a trustworthy person? How can I do that? What steps do I take? Where am I at today? So the focus of the conversation is going to be about you. So turn to the person next to you and look at them and go, this conversation is for me. Come on, do it right now. Whoever you're with, this conversation is for me today. Right? Because trustworthiness is about where I am being trustworthy, not about them, right? Kids, parents, family. We good? All right. Well, we're going to jump into it this morning. If you have your notes, we'll be following along. Here's where a lack of trust exists within the relationships in the home sphere. It's usually one of two things or both. One is one or two people that are not trustworthy. Not trustworthy. If you're in a relationship with somebody and you don't believe that they're trustworthy, there's going to be a lack of trust. That's one portion of it. Or there's one or two, because it takes two to tango, right? Relationship is more than one. Is somebody that is unwilling to trust somebody else. One individual could be trustworthy, but if the other is not willing to place trust in them, then a lack of trust still exists, does it not? So it could be a combination of different things. Again, this conversation for today is about you and where you are at. So we're going to jump in. A couple definitions this morning. Trustworthy is an adjective, is able to be relied upon as honest or truthful. Able to be relied upon as honest or truthful. That's honest, reliable, faithful, honorable, above suspicion, and also straight up. I think of straight up, I think of posture. You have somebody that has integrity, somebody that's honest and trustworthy. When you have a communication with them, they were forthright. They're straight up. Right, to look you in the face, look you in the eye, and say, hey, I have the ability to have some integrity. It's trustworthy. So I liked that part of the definition. Untrustworthy is literally the complete opposite of that. Not able to be relied upon is honest, truthful, dishonest, deceitful, unreliable, suspicious, or dodgy. Dodgy. For some reason, when I think of dodgy, I think of the word dodgeball. And nobody likes to get hit with a dodgeball, especially in the face, ever. And so in dodgeball, if you're dodgy, man, you are shifty, you are moving, you're not forthright, not straight up, right? Secret, suspicious. So that's a lack of trust, untrustworthy in that manner. So again, today, we're going to talk about what does it look like for you in any relationship that you're in, specifically in the home sphere, to be trustworthy. How can we be trustworthy? First and foremost, most important above all other points in this conversation is that we have the ability to be trustworthy. It is possible. We can be people that can be trusted if we spend time with the one who is trustworthy. He who is trustworthy enables us to be different. And that trustworthy one is Jesus. Jesus can be trusted. Our God, our Father, has characteristics, history. He has proven to us that he can be trusted. See, as a disciple of Jesus, that's how I learn and grow, is when I'm willing to follow what God says is true. That happens when I read his word. That happens when we worship together like we did, when I spend time praying, and when I spend time listening to God's people. They give me counsel, they give me advice and insight. And so I have the ability to become something different, to be a new creation in Christ Jesus, as the word says, if I'm willing to follow and learn and listen. In order for me to do that personally, you guys, this morning, when I think about that, I have to come face to face with, do I trust the trustworthy one? Do I actually believe that his word is true, that it's right, that it's just, that what he says for me is best when it doesn't always feel best, when I don't necessarily know what the next step is gonna be or what the outcome may be? I have to choose to decide, God, do I trust you? God, are you trustworthy? And as I do that, not perfectly, not easily, I can learn to rely on the one who's reliable. And then therefore I can emulate a Christ-likeness that therefore can be trusted as well. Because left to my own devices, I'm usually looking out for me. When it gets hard, I look out for me. When I get tired, I usually look out for me. And that doesn't necessarily result in trustworthiness. Mostly it results in selfishness. So we can be trustworthy as we abide in the Lord. Here's what Isaiah says about God and his trustworthiness. He says, Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and I'll praise your name, for in perfect faithfulness, you have done wonderful things, things that you've planned long ago. Deuteronomy says, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He's the rock. His works are perfect. All of his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. I really want to emphasize this point this morning, that I think our ability to love well, to be trustworthy individuals, to trust others, comes from the Lord. And we can look to him for what that looks like. I think over and over again, even though I can read it, even though I can stand up here and talk about it and preach it and share it, I still struggle to believe that God can be trustworthy. Anybody else? Just waiting for the next thing to happen. I'm just waiting for the yeah, but. I'm just waiting for, hey, remember that time 10 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 days ago, where it didn't go exactly how I wanted it to go? Yeah, what if that happens again? What if it doesn't go the way that I want it to? Yeah, but what about the next time? I struggle with that. That's a real thought. That's a real feeling. And I know that when I am in that place with the Lord, I'm gonna be in that place with everybody else. If I struggle to believe that God is trustworthy, really gonna struggle to believe that anybody else is trustworthy too. We can be trusters of others. We can be trustworthy individuals. We must practice with God first. We can be trustworthy as he leads us. God's faithful, he speaks truth. God was willing to humble himself and to become like us. He was willing to join us where we are. He was willing to understand us. He was willing to walk alongside us and understand that we're not perfect, that he knows what it's like to walk the walk. He did walk the walk. He did talk the talk. And so because of that, he knows how we are. He knows where we are. And that can be trusted because God knows our position. When we abide in Jesus, we are empowered by Jesus to act and live by Jesus. When we abide in Christ, John 15 talks about this. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain or you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. It feels like a pretty strong word right there to say you can't do anything unless you abide in me. I think he means it. I know he means it. I know because I've walked the path of trying to do it on my own. It doesn't work. Unfortunately, it works for a while and then it doesn't work. When we abide in Jesus, he empowers us. He gives us his spirit. He guides us through his word. And we can therefore become people that can be trusted. Does being trustworthy mean you have to be perfect? Does being trustworthy mean you have a perfect past? You don't ever make mistakes. You don't ever say it wrong, do it wrong, have a bad day, Well, it better not, because none of us would be trustworthy. God is a perfect example of what perfection looks like. He does not require perfection from us. He requires trust from us. He requires faith from us. He requires perseverance from us. Try again. And he also requires from us grace. We receive his grace so that we give his grace. See, because I can be a trustworthy person, but if I'm not trusted, then we have a lack of trust. If I have a relationship with somebody that's mostly trustworthy, because we're not perfect, right? Yet I fail to extend that grace and mercy. I fail to trust, then we still have a lack of trust. It goes both ways, doesn't it? I've been both positions. I struggle with that, but I can continue to look to the one who's trustworthy so that I can emulate his trustworthiness and his trusting. When we abide in Jesus, he changes us into something different. And I think of the example of Paul the Apostle. He was not perfect. He was less than perfect. He was an antagonist against all of the things of God. Yet in 1 Timothy, he describes how he has become different based on who Christ is and what God has done and meant to him in his life. I've been this person. I would wager to say that maybe you've been this person. Here's what Paul says, 1 Timothy 1 chapter, verse 12. He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly along with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. He goes on to say, here's a trustworthy saying that I deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. He says, but for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example to those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. So even in this small snapshot of what Paul is saying is the gospel message, that I used to be a dumpster fire, is what Paul says. I used to be a wreck. I used to act in ignorance. I didn't know what I was doing. And along came Christ Jesus, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, his immense patience allowed me to be something different. You can be a person that can be trusted if that is your disposition before the Lord. If you choose to believe that God has loved you, that his grace and mercy is overflowing for you, it can allow you to be a person that says, man, I can be different. I'm loved. I'm forgiven. Christ has died for me. God can change me. And in this example, Paul says that he called me to his service. God considers me trustworthy because of Christ's actions. Because I associate with Jesus, God says you're trustworthy and I want to use you. Guys, that's us. That can be you. That's not pointing to the person next to you. You need to be trustworthy. No, it's here. We start with Jesus. Paul says he gives a fantastic example. Again, regardless of where we've been or who we have been, God in his grace and his mercy can change us. We can be trustworthy people because of Jesus in us. So God's part is to do the changing, to provide the power in us, to provide the word, the truth, right? The Holy Spirit in us guides us, it corrects us, it rebukes us if we abide in Jesus. If we don't have an abiding relationship with Christ, and I would say an abiding relationship with Christ, God's greatest commission is to go, God's greatest commandment is to love. He says, love God and others. The fulfillment of that is an abiding relationship with Jesus. Apart from him, we do nothing. In that relationship, I can love well. I can love as Jesus says to love, with grace and mercy. I consider others better than myself when I'm abiding in Christ. I consider myself better than everybody else when I'm abiding in myself. I do what I want when I'm left to my own devices. When I'm abiding in Christ, I seek first the kingdom and his righteousness and other people first. The best thing you can do for any relationship, spouse, parents, kids, neighbors, the best thing you can do at any time to love well is to abide in Christ first, no matter what. And you can do some really cool little things like plan vacations and get fun gifts and presents and set up a whole bunch of things that you think might, like Christian said last week, affect this tiny little part of eternity. But you can do a lot of fun, thoughtful things and not abide in Christ. Because when it gets hard and when it gets difficult and I get tired, those things don't matter a whole bunch. Abiding in Christ allows me to be a person that can be trusted because of him in me. We're to be honest, reliable, faithful, above suspicion, right? Straight up trustworthy because of who God is and what he does in us. So our part is to abide and to obey. What does it look like actually for us to be trustworthy, to be a person that can be trusted in the practical sense? Like, what do I do? What does that look like? I'm gonna pull a small passage out of Luke 16, verse 10, just as a simple example. Verse 10, Luke chapter 16 says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. It said, whoever's dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with somebody else's property, who will give you property of your own? I think oftentimes, if I'm being honest, I feel like I demand being trusted with things of significance. And yet, I would say, don't actually ask me what my track record looks like. Don't ask me about these small things and if I can be trusted with them, because those don't really matter. But I want you to trust me with the significant things. And right here, I think it's interesting because he is talking about worldly wealth in this example. He just says true riches. What do you think true riches means? I mean, if God says that things are temporal, if materials are here today, gone tomorrow, I wonder what he thinks. I wonder what he's saying there. Prayed about it. I've been thinking about it. I do think that part of that is that the true riches of this world are relationship with God and other people. So I think what he's potentially saying is, who's gonna trust you with themselves if you can't be trustworthy with the little things, the material things? And for me, I'm like, what are those little things? What's he talking about? Like, yeah, it could be finances and money, that's true. That's one of them. I start to think about other things like letting my yes be yes and my no be no. Following through with what you say you'll do. Just being honest. Again, it doesn't say perfect, but be honest. You say sorry when you're wrong. I say, yeah, it's my fault. I didn't do that. You're right. I made a promise. I didn't keep it. Yep, I promised to show up at that time. I didn't. I think small pieces of being trustworthy to being trusted builds character. Again, if we're abiding in Christ, if Jesus is who I'm following, hopefully that's somebody that I am, not something that I just do. And so hopefully that would be in anything, right? Any conversation, any circumstance, I would hope that I would consider others better, that I would love on God's behalf, not consider things mine, and I would be trusted. But the things of significance, I think even in this passage, are each other, right? The word entrusted means to take something of value and put it into the possession of somebody else's, to entrust. So I think of relationship. I think of myself. Who am I wanting to entrust myself to? Because there's some fear in that. I have some doubts in that. I have some reservations in that. And guess where that comes from? Life experience of having entrusted myself to somebody and having it not go very well. I bet you've had that experience. I know you've had that experience. And that's a tough thing to do. Taking something of value, which is my heart, right? My life, what I care about, my identity potentially, which should be in Christ, but sometimes I struggle to find that in other things. To entrust that to somebody else, it's kind of a big deal. Trusting somebody else with yourself. Taking a thing of value and giving it to somebody, and then especially, right, if somebody has broken that trust, they've taken your value and lost it or squandered it, like Jesus says, not been trustworthy. That's tough. That's hard. That's difficult. That's painful. Yes, all of those things. But that's where the gospel of Jesus matters even more than when we haven't had that experience? Are we willing to forgive? Are we willing to trust again? And the first and foremost person that we trust is God with the results, not each other, because we're going to let each other down, aren't we? Now you can look to the person next to you and go, yeah, we're going to let each other down. Sorry. Jesus doesn't ask us to be perfect. He just asks us to be willing to trust him in it, regardless of the circumstances. I think that it's easier for me to want to trust somebody when I feel like they love me and they care about me, when I feel like it's safe to share with them. I feel like they're interested in what's going on. Is that true for you? I feel like I want to entrust myself with somebody. I'm kind of checking out what's going on and how are they. And because usually when I'm entrusting myself with somebody else, I'm in a spot to where that's risky, right? So I want to see what that looks like. The Luke passage talks about being trustworthy with things. The latter part of that is trustworthy with people. The trustworthy with things is kind of responsible. It's like a responsibility piece. The people part is a protective piece. It's a safe part. What does trustworthiness look like from us to be safe, to be willing to be trusted, to be willing to have somebody trust you with themselves? How do we do that? There's a phenomenal video that I want to show you. It's from Brené Brown. She's an author. It's fantastic. This specific little video is a part of relationship. And she talks about empathy. But I want to connect it to this message because I think the willingness to be able to connect with other people, to hear other people, to consider where somebody is significant in them trusting. Would you agree with that? So let's watch this video just for a minute and then we'll talk about it. Let's check it out.
So what is empathy and why is it very different than sympathy? Empathy fuels connection. Sympathy drives disconnection. Empathy, it's very interesting. Teresa Wiseman is a nursing scholar who studied professions, very diverse professions where empathy is relevant, and came up with four qualities of empathy. Perspective taking, the ability to take the perspective of another person or recognize their perspective as their truth. Staying out of judgment, not easy when you enjoy it as much as most of us do. Recognizing emotion in other people and then communicating that. Empathy is feeling with people. And to me, I always think of empathy as this kind of sacred space when someone's kind of in a deep hole and they shout out from the bottom and they say, I'm stuck, it's dark, I'm overwhelmed. And then we look and we say, hey, calm down. I know what it's like down here, and you're not alone. Sympathy is, ooh, it's bad, uh-huh. No, you want a sandwich? Empathy is a choice, and it's a vulnerable choice, because in order to connect with you, I have to connect with something in myself that knows that feeling. Rarely, if ever, does an empathic response begin with at least. And we do it all the time. Because you know what? Someone just shared something with us that's incredibly painful, and we're trying to silver lining it. I don't think that's a verb, but I'm using it as one. We're trying to put the silver lining around it. So, I had a miscarriage. Oh, at least you know you can get pregnant. I think my marriage is falling apart. At least you have a marriage. John's getting kicked out of school. At least Sarah is an A student. But one of the things we do sometimes in the face of very difficult conversations is we try to make things better. If I share something with you that's very difficult, I'd rather you say, I don't even know what to say right now. I'm just so glad you told me. Because the truth is, rarely can a response make something better. What makes something better is connection.
Thank you. Connection, right? You probably have to watch that one 2, 3, 4 times. I've watched it like 15 times, and I pick up something new every time. That's one small portion of what it looks like for us to be a person that's trustworthy. Somebody that listens, somebody that is willing to show empathy, to not go, oh, want a sandwich? Right. Most oftentimes, I know from my perspective, when I'm trusting, wanting to trust, it might not be that deep hole like in the video, but trust becomes a big deal when I'm hurt or tired or vulnerable. I'm looking for some sort of a connection in order to be trustworthy, is being somebody that is willing to listen, right? Be honest, to work through it. So what happens when we break trust? What happens when we break trust? This is kind of the last portion for the conversation, because we've all done it. We'll all do it again. What do I do when I find myself in the position of losing somebody's trust? What do I do with that? Just a couple things. First one is to take responsibility for making it right. Never seems to work out, at least in my experience, and I still try it, to argue my position, to justify the lack of trust that has taken place. A lot of times that just results in more lack of trust. I know that for me, when somebody is willing to take responsibility for a miss, whether they did it on purpose or not, it actually makes me feel like they understand the situation. Sometimes, I know that I can struggle to admit my faults, to admit that I'm wrong, to admit that I have wronged somebody or that I have broken trust. And being on the other side of me, when I'm willing to listen for feedback, I understand the implications of that to the relationship from somebody else. If I don't ever feel like I'm wrong, how can anybody else ever feel like they can win? And so admitting it and taking responsibility for it is a good first step to recognize that trust has been broken. Owning what you've done, not making excuses, not justifying, is called repentance. Owning that in the relationship. Sorry, I've missed it. Sorry, I lost your trust. Repenting. I apologize for that in order to move forward. Part of repentance is by saying, I don't want to do that again, and how can I make it right? Part of repenting is saying, I'm sorry. It goes way further in the relationship if you're willing to say you're sorry for the other person, because they need to hear that. I know that when I need to hear that, that helps. That helps me build trust again when the other person says, hey, I'm sorry, I blew it. I'm like, okay. Especially if they're saying, how can I make it right? It's a good, helpful step. Lastly, how can you have right expectations moving forward? Have the right expectations. Right? The right expectation is not perfection. The right expectation is you'll never, never, ever, ever, ever do it again. Promise, promise, promise. Now, understanding the context of what we're talking about is a very general topic of trust. There are significant trust-breaking issues that are painful, that require significant attention. And trusting again and being willing to be trusted again is not just a snap of the finger and just try harder and forget about it. Never is that God's intention, and never is that what he asks us to do. He asks us to be wise about it, to be intentional, to set up healthy boundaries, to have correct and right expectations for the relationship moving forward. Have correct expectations. Seek help. Seek wise counsel. Talk through it. But if you're frustrated and you lost somebody's trust because they were 3 minutes late to your coffee appointment, you need to have right expectations. I'm like, hey, sorry, you need to chill out a little bit. Trusting and trusting again is a choice, just like love is a choice. We could talk about this conversation for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. It's a significant one. But love is a choice. Trusting is a choice. Is loving easy? Does love require no boundaries and no wisdom and no intentionality? Of course it does. Of course all those things matter. Of course conversation and reality matters. Absolutely. Repentance and objectivity, those are all portions of choosing to love. It's the same with trust. It's the same with trust. Where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? As a reminder, as we land, we're going to start to just play some music here in the background. We're going to take communion in here just a minute, but I want to cover this again. We can be trustworthy, and we can choose to trust again when we seek God as our model and our example. We can become trustworthy people that can be changed, that can be different, that can be old dumpster fires, like Paul said, right? That can repent and be used if we abide in Christ, if we seek him first, if we allow other people into our lives, if we're willing to get connected and ask people, how am I? What am I saying? How am I acting? Did I do it right? Did I mess it up? Do I need to go back and say I'm sorry? An abiding relationship with Christ and with other people allows us to be people that can be trustworthy. Can't do it on our own. Can't keep trying harder. I've tried it. It doesn't work. But we can be trustworthy for the others in our home as we abide in Christ. The best thing you can do for anybody is to follow Jesus, to let him change you, to let him encourage you, to let him cause you to a point to be repentant. Abiding in Jesus allows us to be trustworthy. We can be trustworthy because he is trustworthy. Not gonna be perfect. Right now, I bet there's a couple things in your mind where you're like, man, thinking about those times when I cannot trust again. I feel that. Would you let God change that? Would you put it before him? Would you let him speak to it? I hope equally right now you're thinking of all the times you're like, I'm not very trustworthy. Here's some ways I'm not very trustworthy. Would you bring that before the Lord? Would you let him speak to it? Would you let others speak to it in an effort to have healthy relationship in the home? We can, you can take it before the Lord and take it before others.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.